This is an ABC podcast. Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn and Christine Layton.
On ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Hello, Sabrina.
Wow, top of the morning to you, Steens. Now you're going to become really famous.
No, I'm not. No, absolutely not. Not keen for that part. I just want to keep talking to you.
The only
reason I applied for afternoons was because I knew that you'd still be there. And we'd still get to do this. Maybe
we will.
A different intro.
We will, Steens.
Oh, yeah, feeling, look, I it's a privilege. I'm the next custodian.
So excited.
It's not my job. I'm just filling in for a while.
No. Don't put it that way. Steen's the best person for the job, without a doubt. So congratulations on your weekday slot.
Thank you.
Because Gillian O'Shaughnessy's shoes, they're big to fill.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying she's got really enormous feet. She does have an enormous head, though.
No, she doesn't. Have you seen the photos of the two of us next together? She's actually got quite a slender head. So I'm bringing a wider head to this role. Anyway, look, thank you for all of your wonderful texts as well. I'm feeling very welcome, which is good because I am just absolutely losing it inside. Anyway, so we're looking at a caterpillar.
Yeah.
We got sent a photo of this magnificent, amazing, grey, long, almost Devon Rex skin of a cat-like caterpillar, and it's got a barb on its back, and we don't know what it is. Oh. So
I have to do a bit of research. But I was talking to Steens a little bit earlier on, saying that if you ever get an opportunity to look at a caterpillar under a microscope, they are heavily armed, and I mean heavily armed.
What do you mean?
They have medieval torture just stuck all over their body to do the maximum amount of damage to anyone that eats it.
Well, they're pretty defenseless, so you'd hope so, because they didn't win against my neighbour and his jasmine bush. But anyway,
A human's a bit big, really, to tackle. You know, your medieval sword is actually only a tenth of a millimetre long. So caterpillars will have barbs on them. So when they think they're going to be attacked by a bird or a wasp, or because wasps, you know, lay their eggs in them.
Yeah.
So they have this armoury on them, and they'll raise themselves up and the barbs come out.
Wow.
And they're like those, the swords that they use.
With the trigger finger, is that what?
Yeah. So that the flanges come out in the barb, so that when they pull the barb back into their body, it rips the out of whatever is that.
Very Game of Thrones.
It is Game of Thrones. Some of them are exquisitely beautiful. Other caterpillars have all sorts of floral things all over them so that they look like a flower. Caterpillars are the most amazing things.
Yeah.
The white cabbage butterfly, however, bit boring.
Oh,
the caterpillar
there's
there.
A lot of that, yeah.
Yeah, and there's millions of them, so feel free to squish a few of them.
Give us a call, 1300 222 720. Cynthia from Open Gardens to open the show. Hello, Cynthia.
Good morning, Sabrina and Christine.
Hello.
Good morning.
Where are you this weekend?
We're going to Devon Mark's garden at 203 Elliott Road in Wanneroo.
Yes.
And this is over an acre, this garden. It's really a large garden. They produce Shiraz wine and olive oil for their own use.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they've got a large pond in the middle of the garden filled with water lilies and koi fish. But it's got a unique water system where the water's channeled around the garden, and they've got canners and different plants growing in the channel to absorb the fish nutrients. Then it comes back to the pond by a little waterfall.
Oh, beautiful.
So it's just beautiful. And it's also home to yabbies and frogs, so very environmental.
Yeah.
They've also got chooks, veggies and cottage garden section. And Dan the Bee Man will be giving talks at 11:30 and 1:30 both today and tomorrow.
Awesome.
So you'll have honey for sale.
Ooh, yum, fresh honey.
Plant stall, produce stall and a raffle. And Deb and Mark are raising money for Crawford House or Crawford Lodge, which is the place where country people can go to have cancer treatment in Perth.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So, the floral art ladies will be doing the catering for us today, and I know they're all good cooks. So This is our last garden for this year, so I'd just like to say thank you, Sabrina and Christine and ABC, for your continued support.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to be really cheap, quote Peter Cundall, so that's your blooming lot for this year.
No, Thank you, Cynthia.
That is a good quote, Cynthia. Thank you. And it's been good to find out where they are across Perth. So 203 Elliott Road, I think it was, in Wanneroo. No, that's brilliant. And Cynthia's done a really good job, and it's nice to kind of showcase the gardens that we've got going on.
Yeah, because it's inspiration for other people that just haven't got a clue really on where to start to design their garden, so they can go to that and go, wow, I'd never be able to do that.
Get overwhelmed and go home. That's exactly right. Let's go to Janet, who's in Queens Rock. Good morning, Janet.
Morning.
Hello. Morning, Janet.
You're first after Cynthia. What's your question about this morning?
I have a big old grapevine that has to be moved. I know it's the wrong time of the year, but needed some advice as to what would be our best chances. We've had it there for maybe 30 years.
Ooh. Right. Okay. Well, the good thing is, Janet, that grapevines are really, really tough. So it's in Queens Rock at the moment, the grapevine?
Yes.
And where's it going to?
On the same block.
Oh, okay. Right. So it's home away from home, really? So now you'll have to prune it back really hard.
Right.
And I know it's the wrong time of the year, but you have to do it anyway. Now grow some of those cuttings, Janet, just in case.
Yep.
So just in case you lose it. Get as much root system as you possibly can and then put it into a prepared hole that's got compost, a little bit of really aged sheep manure and a little bit of clay.
Okay.
So mix all that in the hole. Now you'll have to keep it watered. So every second day you will need to water it. Don't overwater because the new developing roots will rot.
Right.
If it's in full sun, then you may need to put a little bit of shade cloth around it just for the first summer.
Okay.
So don't put it over the top, just around the sides. And that's really, so do not fertilise it, Janet.
Okay.
You can use a seaweed solution to drench the soil when you first put it in.
Okay.
And then that's it. Do not fertilise it at all until you see new growth.
Right. Okay.
So do you have to untangle it? How do you even transplant a grapevine?
Oh, you prune the hell out of it.
Right.
So basically, Janet, you're not going to have any more than maximum 2 metres left of the grapevine.
Interesting visual. Well, I hope it goes well, Janet. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
1300 222 720. I just pictured, you know, those big cabinets of cables, mainframes trying to bring it down from a pergola.
Yeah. It's like, but I've seen 200-year-old grapevines being transplanted.
Oh, so, like the 163-year-old grapevine that is at the WA Museum.
At the WA Museum.
Yes. Good work, Ian Cameron, who keeps it alive. Let's go to Kay from Port Kennedy.
Hey,
hello, Kay.
Christine, hey,
how are you, Kay?
I'm good, lovey. How are you?
I'm exceptionally well.
Well, lovely. I just rang. I've got my ball back on now and my diosmas are taking the sun from my roses. Can I just give them a little trim?
You can.
Or is it too late?
No, give them a trim, Kay.
Give them a little trim?
Yeah, hook in. You could easily take a third off.
All right, because the roses are blossoming and how can I put a little bit of manure back on the roses again?
My oath you can, Kay. You go right ahead.
Beautiful, because they're looking so lovely and the orange tree has got 20 oranges coming, Sabrina.
Woohoo! Wow. You are going to have fresh orange juice all summer long.
Absolutely. All right, my love. Well, that's good. I'm glad I can do it. And thank you, Christine, for the book.
Oh, you're welcome, Kay. Kay won a magazine.
Oh, yes.
I won a magazine.
Yeah, talking about flies this morning. I wondered if that was you, Kay.
Yeah, it was me. It was.
Well done with the March
flies.
Okay,
girls, have a good day. day, and thanks, Sabrina.
See thanks, Kay.
See
Kay.
See ya. Bye.
Oh, I needed Kay. She's like an energy drink.
She is,
through
isn't
the
she?
Desk.
My
yeah.
goodness, she's full of orange juice,
I feel
that girl.
Better now, yeah. Also, we've got a live guest coming into the studios very soon. In 6 minutes' time, you're going to meet Bob Humphreys, who's going to tell us all about how to keep our waterways clean.
Yes, it's actually, he's a very interesting man, Dr. Bob Humphreys. So I think he's going to tell, I think there's a really important subject, but I'll let Bob talk about it later on. And I implore everyone to listen to this interview because it's very important.
Okay. All right. That's quite a dramatic forward promote. So we'll get a few calls in and we'll see what happens after that. Hi, John from Willerton. How are you? Oh, have I picked the right phone line? Yes, John.
John, Les,
John
Ron.
Wandered off.
Oh, he might be having a cup of tea.
Oh, pop him back on hold.
I reckon what's happened with John is he's heard Kay ringing and he's gone, I can't top that. So he's just
run away.
He's just run.
Oh, well, Wombat won't be far behind. let's go to Les, who's in Mandurah. Good morning, Les.
Morning.
Yeah. Morning, Les.
Gotcha, beauty. Yes. What's your question?
Sabrina, I have Sir Walter Lawn.
Yes.
But every year, there's two patches die in the same spot.
Right.
So, and we've tried, you know, like there's no black beetle there. We've tried all that sort of stuff.
Have you tried wetting agent?
Yes, all that.
Okay. Now, does the dead patch spread any further or just stays in the one spot?
Usually in the same area.
Do you have a dog?
No.
Right. There goes that theory. Okay, now that's pretty odd. So it means that there must be something in the soil in that spot.
Yep.
Have you tried digging that area out, removing the soil and putting new soil in?
No, but I did replace a whole lawn by hand, like with a fork.
Wow.
Right. So you've spiked it?
Yeah. Oh, the lawn's been in 3 or 4 years, but I dug the whole cootie out by hand and just put rolls of Sir Walter in there.
Right, okay. Geez, you're a hard-working man. All right, Les, unless you get an analysis done on the soil, it's a bit hard to know what is in there.
Can you get testing kits? Or is it hard to get
that
underneath?
No, you have to do like a pathological test.
Oh,
on
okay.
It.
Yep.
I reckon the easiest thing for you, well, I say it's easy because I'm not doing it, but Les is to actually dig out that area of the dirt, like take that dirt out and get new dirt put in.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's something unidentifiable in that soil that's causing the dieback of the lawn in that area.
Yeah. I did send you a photo of my lawn a few weeks ago. It's beautiful and green until it just starts to heat up and then two spots go off.
Okay, so that is definitely a case of hydrophobic soil. Now, sometimes with really hydrophobic soil, you need to, you've done the right thing, you get the fork, you need to spike it. Then you wiggle the fork around so you make air pockets. Then you get a compost and a clay slurry and pour that over. And sometimes you have to use a wetting agent more than once. Sometimes you need to use it two or three times to break down that sort of water repellency.
I need some water. Sorry about that. I'm having a coughing fit. That's not what I
right
need.
There, Steens?
Yep, I'm going okay. Let's see if we can find John in Willerton. Is he back? John, are you there? Maybe he's also had a coughing fit. No, not there. Give us a call, 1300 222.
Oh, John's seriously gone.
I know. What's
Would
going
you like,
on?
I'd share you my glass except yeah, I've been sucking out of it.
Except COVID.
Yeah.
Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn and Christine Layton.
On ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Oh, not that you've got it and not that we want it and we're so lucky in WA.
I know.
Oh, Salt Lake City is getting a bit of a spike if you saw on 7:30 report. Awful scenes from the nurses.
Actually, I'm running a workshop with the renowned Bob Cooper today, who's the outdoor survival specialist. We're doing a workshop on useful bush foods and implements. Anyway, well, the reason I'm saying that is because when I was setting out the chairs in the hallway, I had to be very mindful to keep the chairs 1.5 metres apart.
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
So because we've all got very sort of lax in WA over because we've been safe from things.
Molly just bought me a water. You're the best, Molly. Thank you.
She's such a good producer.
Yeah, when you just get something in your throat. And I've heard it, listen, it happened to callers. Yeah, we want Bob in. Yeah, thank you, Molly. You're wonderful. Let's go to Rod in Manjimup. Hello, Rod.
Hello.
Well, hello there, Rod. How are you?
Oh, very well, thank you. I've got garden weevils in my veggie patch. And, you know, all the silver beet and everything, there's more holes than there are leaves. Right. And I don't want to spray it with anything too toxic.
Yeah.
So what would you recommend? Anything that we can suggest?
Okay, so weevils. You know, I'm really sad about the vegetable weevil because it's such a beautiful little critter. They're so sweet.
Yeah, why?
Oh, Steens, they've got just these beautiful little antlers and they're just cute.
Vegetable weevil.
Yeah, they're lovable looking little things, but they're bastards because they eat all your veggies and they come in vast numbers. So you can use a neem oil on them, Rod.
Okay.
And that's safe to use on your veggies. Some people just shake them and have a bucket with soapy water and they go in there and then they drown.
Uh-huh, okay.
So there are birds that eat weevils, but you need lots of those little insectivore birds around because I know that they knock off the weevils in my garden. So
right, no, we've got thousands of them.
Yeah, okay, if you've got thousands, you'll have to go to the neem oil.
All right. Thank you for the call, Rod. Now, we've got a very special guest in the studios with us, Dr. Bob Humphreys. Mm. Now, you've written certain papers about keeping our waterways clean and you have an extensive career, which Sab is going to tell us about. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Sab.
Well, I think it's better that Bob talks about his extensive
okay,
career.
Okay, no, well, you can do that too. No, that's a good point. How did you meet? How do you know each other?
I was giving a talk for the City of Melville on climate change and what gardeners can do to sort of keep their gardens going in a sustainable way.
Yes.
And I met Bob. He came up to me and was talking to me about all the research and the work that he's done over the last 35 years, looking at systems, at ecologically sustainable systems where all the groundwater, the stormwater, the drain water, what happens with that water that we don't even think about when we see it going down a drain, basically.
So you've written this paper. What can gardeners do? What do you want to tell gardeners this morning, Bob?
Well, the key issue is that stormwater, we've completely changed the hydrology or the way water moves in the environment by urbanisation. So we've made hard surfaces like roofs and car parks and roads and so on. They all accumulate litter of various sorts, particularly organic matter like lawn clippings, you know, leaf litter. You know, just outside the studio here with these plane trees, you've got a huge issue, actually.
Yes.
Mm. And that material gets either blown into the drain pits by wind and obviously by storm inflows. And then some of it stays in the bottom, rots, and then next time you have a flow, this highly contaminated water full of organic carbon and nutrients and hydrocarbons from oil leaks on the roads and everything ends up at the end of the drainage system. And many of the stormwater drains, which are mostly council-owned, terminate in our urban lakes, which people really value. But they're being made into cesspits, putting it bluntly. I just did a bit of work for the City of Melville. And this lake was thigh deep in completely stinking black organic matter. And that, of course, consumes all the oxygen. Mm. And then you have things like botulism, which kills the water birds.
No. So what can we do?
Well, the key... Well, there's... It's probably largely an asset owner problem in the sense of local government need to up their act, and there's really almost a total lack of awareness or denial, I'm not sure which, amongst that fraction. But gardeners can do several things, obviously. One is not put your garden waste, lawn clippings and stuff on the road. I mean, compost it or put it into your green bin. The other thing is to... obviously, also soluble fertilisers or nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus come off people's gardens as well.
Mm.
So improve the soil and use the right types of fertilisers to avoid runoff loss, because you're just wasting your own money as well.
Mm, true.
And I think the other thing too is take care of your own neighbourhood. If you see... I mean, you see councils mowing verges and so on and putting the lawn clippings on the road themselves.
Mm.
And then it blocks up their own drainage system, which seems to me to be a head kick.
Yeah. So you've got...
Sorry, I was just going to say, since reading your article, the amount of contractors I have seen, and particularly lawn mowing contractors, that they use those hideous things called blowers. Mm. I hate those things.
Yeah, yeah.
So they blow all the lawn clippings down onto the road and then blow them into the drainway.
They probably have no idea. Well, no. Not defending them, but some of them probably have no idea the impact it's having on the waterways.
Almost everybody has no idea, Christine. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit like people using the toilet in their own home.
Yeah.
Flush the loo, it's gone. You don't think about that after treatment it ends up in the Indian Ocean or wherever, you know.
Yeah.
So you've got the microphone. What do you want local governments to do?
Well, I think they really need to take the issue seriously. I'm sympathetic to local government in the sense that in general they don't have expert staff in these areas, and also they're very constrained with budgets. But in certain parts of Sydney, for example, local governments glue a grate over the drain pit opening in the curb, and that keeps the litter on the road, which you can then pick up with street sweeping. Yeah. And that's not 100%. Solution.
And we've seen the river socks as well that they use in Perth, that look like a fruit netting bag.
Yes, and in end of drain pits, there are things called gross pollutant traps, which trap everything from cans and PET bottles to leaf litter and twigs.
But like you said, it's also what's soaking in there.
Yeah, but they got to be maintained properly. You can't leave the stuff in there to rot, because if it then becomes soluble, next time you get an inflow, all of that junk goes into your waterway.
And what about big construction sites? I've seen some hideous things in large construction sites. I don't think there's any awareness whatsoever of what goes down into groundwater or the drainage system in construction sites. Can we regulate it somehow or police
it? It is regulated, but it's not. It's actually illegal for commercial sites to lose builders' sand, paint waste, cement slurries and so on. It's called the Unauthorised Discharge Regulation under the Environmental Protection Act. It's been in place since about 2005 and no one's doing anything about it.
Mm. On the text line, somebody said, my professional carpet cleaner drained their waste down the stormwater drain. I couldn't believe my eyes. Should I report them?
Yeah.
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 Who do you report them to?
Well, in fact, there is a pollution hotline run by the Department of Water and Environmental Regulation.
Okay.
I can't tell you the number off the top of my head, but it's on their website.
Yeah, interesting. Wow. So this is a space
illegal.
Where
there's
we need more work.
There's on the spot $5,000 fine for doing any of this stuff.
Okay.
But it doesn't apply to local government.
Pollution hotline in Perth, 1300 784 782. Yep, and it's under the Department of Water and Environmental Regulation. That's really interesting.
So just a question with our wetlands, Bob. So we see the big drainage sumps. Mm. We think that all the groundwater, anything that soaks into our groundwater must be a good thing, but it's not necessarily so, is it?
Well, Sabrina, by and large it is. I mean, I think the groundwater sumps, of course, you can only have them when you've got the soil surface is well above the water table, and in low-lying places like Bassendean and Bayswater, you just can't do it because the soil meets the water, more or less. In general, the sumps are sort of straining out most of that organic matter, and it's easy to clean it. Some of them are flooded in the bottom. I think the bigger problem is where the drains terminate either in the Swan River or a local wetland, and particularly in most of our local wetlands have no exit, so they end up being a permanent
part
sink.
Of the wetland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the other sort of subtlety is that we've massively increased that we've changed these wetlands from groundwater dominated systems, which they were before we arrived as Europeans, to surface water dominated ones, because now you've got pipe drains entering them and the water collection area is much bigger, and hence the load of rubbish that goes in is much higher than the original wetlands would have had.
Right.
And with climate change and drying and warming climate, it's making the problem worse.
Worse.
So
what would be your sort of take-home message for anyone listening to this program? I mean, so obviously gardeners can be much more aware of what to do with any organic matter that comes from their property, and blowers, I think, should be banned.
So is it a matter of looking out for your own area, your own house?
Yes, and I think if you're seeing bad behaviour or a drain that's full of leaves, get onto your local authority and get the blokes around, you know.
Dawn said, is it illegal for people to drain their pools into the storm drain?
I'm not sure about that, actually. I mean, it's chlorinated water, so if it goes straight to the nearest wetland, it's not going to be very
healthy
for it. Yeah. Although the chlorine would probably be destroyed by all the organic matter as
that's
it goes down.
Coming so, through.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we're not too sure, Dawn, but thank you for asking. It's been really good to speak to you this morning, Bob. It's an important thing to talk about, especially when you've got a whole heap of gardeners listening. So thanks for your time.
My
thank
pleasure.
You. Thank you, Bob. We'll delve into this a little bit deeper at a later date, I feel.
Dr. Bob Humphreys.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
And just like that, we are up to the song pick of the week. And give us a call, 1300 222 720. We'll get to your calls right after
this.
And your texts as well.
Yeah.
What have you picked?
A little bit of Rusty Roof.
Oh, who's Rusty Roof?
Oh, this is a fairly new band, Steens. May not be up your alley, but I think it is.
I'm glad that you told me the name of the band, because in the system it says Rusted Root.
Oh, no, it's Rusted Roof.
Oh, good. Different.
Send me on my way.
I would like to reach out my own myself. Only tell you to run.
On my way. On my way.
Nobody see, nobody on.
I really like that, Sab.
Pretty good vibe, hey?
Yeah, Molly was dancing in the producer's booth as well. So Rusted Root. So there are
roof, Rusted Roof.
Oh, well, apparently it's Root.
Oh, is it?
Oh, hang on. Oh, no, conjecture. No, it's Root. It is Root.
Oh, it is Root.
Yeah, world beat rock band. So they formed in 1990. They're from Pennsylvania. And, yeah, they've been together for a while. Look at that.
It's sort of almost like a
It almost has a Paul Simon.
Yeah, Paul Simon sort of funk to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, he's been doing music for 60 years, so one of his a million albums.
Yes, that's true. That's so true. That's true.
So Bob was brilliant, Dr. Bob Humphreys. So he has been around for a long time. Somebody on the text line said, used to work with Bob at Watercorp, learnt so much from him over the years. Somebody asked me to repeat the hotline for the pollution hotline. Let's see. I reckon I've still got it up. No, I don't. Pretty sure it was 1300 784 782. If you need to report someone.
Yeah, so the pollution hotline. So, I was talking to Bob quite a while after the workshop we did, and he's a remarkable man. So he's actually he's designed different traps and all sorts of different systems to try and help collect all this organic matter before it goes down the drain systems.
Yep.
And he's had, such a wealth of knowledge. So if anyone's interested in listening to Bob's solutions to these problems, I'm going to interview him on my podcast, and it'll be a full 40-minute interview. So if people are really interested in what they can do
yeah.
to help prevent this problem from affecting all our waterways.
It's important to have someone like him standing up for our waterways.
Definitely. So go to Dirty Deeds. It's not up yet because I haven't interviewed him yet. So, yeah, go to my podcast and you'll hear what you can do to help solve the problem.
All right, let's go to Cameron in Carnarvon who has been waiting patiently. Good morning, Cameron.
Yeah, good morning, Christine. Good morning, Sabrina.
Morning, Cameron. How is beautiful Carnarvon today?
Well, beautiful one day and better the next.
You sound like you're on a contract with Tourism WA. It's good. Hey, so, you're asking...
A little bit breezy. Sabrina, I have a question around passion fruit. I've got a passion fruit. Well, it was a cutting that I got from a mate of mine about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's really very green, very bushy. The trunk's quite thick, but it just doesn't make any flowers. No flowers. Now, plenty of birds around, plenty of butterflies around. No flowers. And I was wondering how long does it take normally? I mean, my mate, where that came from, his passion fruit produces heaps every year and is doing so at this time.
Okay, so it usually takes passion fruit 2 years to fruit. Cameron, but it might be that you need to up the fertiliser a little bit for it.
Alrighty, no worries.
So they're voracious feeders because they only live for about 7 years. So, and you need to fertilise all the way up and down the whole line of wherever you see the growth. You fertilise that the whole length of where the growth is.
All right. On the text line, because we have neglected it a little bit this morning, Graham in Rivervale sent an early one in, said, not sure if I missed it last week. Can you ID this plant?
Oh, yeah, that's Crinum, Crinum. Tropical plant, magnificent, huge white, or you can get pink flowers. Great shade plant. It's like a giant agapanthus with enormous white perfume flowers. Oh, it's beautiful.
Very nice.
Native.
And
native
what's wrong too. With Gisella from Hall's Heads Palm? It's got brown tips at the end. It looks like it's had that 90s haircut. You know when people dyed the tips of their hair, they had the spiky hair.
What's that called when they do
that? Oh, there's a name.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yep, I'm sure
anyway,
someone knows.
What I'd be more concerned about, not just the brown tips, is the palm's meant to be green, but it's kind of yellow.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's in a pot, Gisella, but you're in Hall's Head, if it's in the ground, dig it up and put it in a pot with really good potting mix because it will not like the soil there, or all sand, right. I should say.
Joseph is in Yokine. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, girls. How are you going?
Yeah, not good.
Bad. That's good. Sabrina, I've recently, after a very long time and to the happiness of most of my neighbours, decided to clear my verge. I live in a corner block.
Yeah.
And anyway, but I've basically just got a bobcat to remove the topsoil and all the weeds. Put some weeding mat and I put mulch and I've put some native seedlings provided by my council and some others that I've bought.
Yep.
Now, that was done about 3 months ago, and they're growing, but fairly slowly. So I was wondering, is there a type of fertiliser or something that I can do to improve the growth rate?
Yep. Did you improve the soil when you put the plants in, Joseph?
No, but I've used potting mix around the plants that I planted.
Okay.
It was too big an area to
Okay. Yeah, yeah. All righty. Well, you've got to make sure that weed matting is a long way away from each individual plant. I actually never use weed matting. I think it's a really bad thing to use and environmentally a disaster. So you will need to get yourself a wetting agent. I would definitely get a seaweed type solution that you mix in a watering can and drench.
Yep.
Then there's a native fertiliser. There's two fertilisers you could use. So one is a mineralised based fertiliser that's got over 60 minerals in it and it's encapsulated with microscopic fungi and bacteria. And the other one is just for native native plants. It's actually a true native fertiliser. Both of those are slow release. They'd be excellent to use.
All right. Good luck, Joseph. Brett from Geraldton, in defence of carpet cleaners who pour things down the drain, he said, before you hang it on us, make sure that you're aware that some of the products are non-toxic and free of
surfactants.
Thank you. I've never seen that word before.
Have you?
No. Oh. So better than what you wash your car with. So not always a bad thing, but will be investigated, I'm assuming, because the other person reported them. So
yeah.
Jess in South Guildford said, cracking song, Sabrina, and definitely rusted root. Although I did Google rusted roof and I got lots of tips on how to fix that too. So. Google is a great thing. And Penny said, can we listen to Bob online again? And yes, you can. Roots and Shoots will be up this week.
It'll be up. And then you can listen to my podcast for a longer in-depth interview as well. Yeah. It's an important topic, isn't it?
It is.
There used to be this program years and years ago called Ribbons of Green.
Ribbons of Green.
And they put where the drains were, they put pictures of fish and birds, like, you know, wetland birds on the drain. So whenever anyone dumped anything in there, to remind them where that ends up.
Oh, that's really clever.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'd love to see that back again.
Yeah, it was such a good, made people realise.
How long ago?
Well, it's probably 10, 15 years ago now.
Okay, that's
It's called Ribbons
clever.
Of Green. It was very clever, Steens.
All right.
Very clever.
Lurking in the background of that conversation was Peter from Mandurah. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Christine. Good morning, Sabrina.
What can we do for you, Peter?
Well, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Excellent.
Oh, which one?
We like that. I've got several.
Okay.
They're all mostly covered in a lot of fat, though. It's going to be hard to get to them.
Don't listen to her, Peter.
No. The last time I spoke, I got cut off and I didn't get to ask my question and I didn't get to go back on.
I'm sorry.
When was that?
That was last week.
Oh, Peter, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it was at the Museum OB when we weren't in control of the buttons.
Yes.
I'm in control of the buttons now. That wouldn't have been the person's fault either.
No.
So we'll write that wrong.
We'll make up for it, Peter.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Look, I want to check, how do I test? We live in San Remo on the beach side.
Yeah.
How do I test for acidic soil and what do I need to add to the soil to make it more alkaline if that's the case?
Now, you're going to have the opposite problem, I think, Peter. I think what you will have is very alkaline soil and will need to pull it back to neutral. So, Peter, go to a nursery or a hardware store and buy a soil pH testing kit. It's in a little box. It's about $20. It comes with a color-coded card from lime green yellow to dark purple. So the lime green yellow means the soil is acidic. The dark purple means it's alkaline. And that will give you a range. Now, take a few samples and you need to go down into the soil at least 10 centimetres deep to take your sample. It's very easy to do. It'll only take you 5 minutes maximum to do it. Take a few samples and then I think you'll find that your soil will be alkaline. So to drop the alkalinity, to get it back to neutral, you'll need to add powdered sulfur. You need to get some clay and some compost in there and basically change the physical makeup of the soil.
All right. Thank you for the call, Peter. We have John in Willerton back on the line. Hello, John.
G'day. It's Wilson, actually, not Willerton.
Oh, Wilson. Sorry about that, John. Well, we've found you and we can right another wrong.
Tell us,
what's your question?
So if you'd remember me, I'm formerly from Eastwick Park, John.
Yes.
Lovely to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it
has. And I love your taste in music. I just love you generally.
Ah, thank you, John.
I've got my beautiful ficus healii bonsai.
Yeah.
Unfortunately gone to the garden in the sky. And I'm trying to strike some more ficus healii.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm doing something wrong. I can't remember how I did it last time. I've got them in the sand.
Yep.
I've got them moist, but they're just not working.
Okay. So did you take the tip cuttings, or have you come further down the stem to the harder wood?
Yes, I did.
Both? Yes. You did both, or...?
Well, it was a cutting. I've got a little gardening business, so it was a cutting, and I've done it all right. I've done it on the knuckle.
Yep.
I've got them in sand, yep. But it's just not working. I can't remember what I've done wrong.
Look, I don't reckon there'd be enough oomph in the sand, John. I think you're better off getting really, really cheap potting mix. Because that's going to be two-thirds sand, but you'll have a third organic matter. I think the sand just doesn't have enough. And if it, if it compacts or it doesn't hold any moisture at all, then the roots won't develop. So did you get the rooting hormone?
Yes.
You've done that?
I've done that.
I think you need to take them out of that sand and put them in a really cheap potting mix in a pot.
Okay, I've got some potting mix here.
Yep, that'll be the go. I think that's where you've gone wrong.
All right, thank you for the call, John. We've got a few phone lines free, 1300 222 720. It is 12 minutes to 9.
Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn and Christine Layton
on ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Aha, let's have a look at the text line. The result of two frogs meeting in my fish tank, hundreds of tadpoles, this person has said.
Oh, wow. There literally are hundreds of tadpoles.
Oh, wow.
Frogs, you dirty little buggers. Isn't that great? Is there a picture of the frog?
Yeah.
It's a motorbike frog.
Oh, wow. Actually, they're in the act in that photo.
Yeah, they're fairly...
They look like they're on a motorbike, but I don't think they are. That's why I applied for afternoon so I can keep you. Brad from Sinagra said to the person with the passion fruit not flowering, we use ash from the Weber and it flowers within a week.
Ash from the Weber. So obviously that's very high in potassium.
Okay. And Pam said, I planted mustard seeds in veg garden, tomatoes for nematodes, 20 centimetres tall. Do I dig them in?
Yes. Now you need to leave that root system of the mustard in there because that's going to fumigate the soil. So just dig it in. Yep.
All right. Very good.
That's the way to go.
To the phones, Ray is in Darlington. Good morning, Ray.
Hi there, Christine. Hi, Sabrina.
Good morning, Ray.
How do we find you?
I'm actually out on the path pulling out this revolting weed.
What's your weed, Ray?
Yeah, look, I read that article you put in the paper the other day about maidenhair ferns.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd just like to share a thought about that with you from my dear departed mother.
Yeah.
She loved maidenhair fern and she used to, at the end of winter, and she's, it's looking a bit sick and she wanted to spruce it up for the growing season. She was believed, like you, in a bit of tough love.
Yep.
And nothing fancy. She'd just get a couple of sheets of loose newspaper.
Yeah.
And roll that up. And if you could picture, get the pot, light over on its side, and then set the paper on fire. And she'd sort of sink. Hello?
Yes. I tell you what, Ray, I'm with you 100%. Now
because, Yeah, but the thing was, I was like a youngster at the time, and I was always in trouble for playing with fire anyway, but it looked like fun. I think she enjoyed it too. I might have got it from her.
Just what you need in the hills. Thank you for the call, Ray.
It worked.
It does. Do you know, Ray, when I was a youngster studying horticulture, we actually did an experiment, because I love fire, and we did an experiment on all sorts of things. So I experimented because my nan did the same thing. She used to burn burn the maiden hairs down when they weren't looking that flash. So I did a controlled experiment. Well, I call it controlled experiment when I was studying horticulture. And so I burnt the lot and 60% would come back. But if you let the fire get too hot.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
It's not ideal.
No. But and then I don't want to have to report on you with the emergency broadcasting.
No. So I tell you what, it works a treat. Yeah. But right. You may lose a few. Just bear that in mind.
Okay. Let's go to Jean in Mosman Park before we give everyone ideas. Hello, Jean.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning, Jean.
Sabrina, a few weeks ago, the gardener put in 9 Indian hawthorns, Raffia solis. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Raffiolepis, yep.
Yes, yes. Yep. And I've got quite a few of them. Anyway, these 9 have got this sort of greyish stuff on the leaves. Now, none of the others have ever had that when they've been put in.
Right.
And I suspect that these bushes were on his truck for a few days before they got planted.
Ah.
I asked the local nursery and she said, where do you live? I said, Mosman Park. And she said, it's salt. But I can't believe that because none of the others have
had it. No, if it was salt, they'd all have it.
Yes, that's
Jean.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, so it's not salt.
No.
Now, it can be that they have dried out in
yes.
the pot.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like to me. Or the other thing it can be is mites or thrip.
Right, okay.
But you would see, so you have a look underneath the leaf if there's any black spots.
Yep.
Then that's the poo.
Right.
So it could be mites or thrips. But it sounds to me, the way you've described the leaf, they've actually dried out in the pot at some point in time.
All right. Thanks for the question, Jean. Let's go to the text line. Sab, I'm in Geraldton and I'd like to grow crepe myrtles. Now you can stop laughing now.
I was about to laugh.
Do you reckon I could grow them in large pots under my very tall pergola? Having said that, I do have a ginkgo tree actually growing. That's Barb, the crazy plant lady.
You what, Barb, if you've got a ginkgo tree growing, in Jero, you'd be able to grow a crepe myrtle, no worries at all. But don't stick it out in the full sun in the wind. No, I reckon, Barb, I think you could do that.
All right. Marty from Byford also said, I'm a lawn mowing contractor in the southern suburbs. Blowing leaf and grass litter onto the road is actually a finable offence. Thank you for clarifying. In most local governments, my routine is to edge, whippersnip, and then blow all litter from driveways, parts, and roads back onto the lawn before mowing. Mower picks up everything to be disposed of correctly, too easy. So that's really interesting.
You are a champion, mate. So if you see anyone blowing anything, we've got the pollutions hotline, which is 1-300-784-782.
Very good. Let's go to Betty in Busselton. Hi, Betty.
Good morning.
Morning, Betty.
I'm asking about a hellebore.
Yes.
An angel glow.
Yes.
And it's got little brown spots all over the flowers.
Okay. So that's probably a fungal disease, Betty.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, but do you know what? I wouldn't worry too much about that now. So hellebores are probably going to start going dormant in about 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll start dying down. Now, because we've had sort of big dumps of rain and then it's got hot, so, but the fungus that they've got, Betty, it's not going to be detrimental to it. And when it reemerges next year, then it probably won't have it. So I really wouldn't worry too much about it at this stage.
All right. Thank you, Betty. Let's go to Bob, who is in Como. Good morning, Bob.
G'day. How you going?
Very well.
My question is, thanks for your work, ladies.
You're welcome.
My passion fruit vine and pests, I just get flowers and they look great and then they wake up in the morning and they're nipped off. I don't know if it's birds or rats or whatever.
Won't be birds. Could be rats, although they prefer to eat the fruit, Bob. Now, there is a vine hopper that will snip it off. There can be caterpillars. At the moment, emerging.
What's a vine hopper, sorry?
It's like a little green bug, passion vine hopper.
Can you see them during the day?
Yeah. You'll see them hopping about in the day. The thing that's around at the moment, Bob, is bloody crickets and grasshoppers. And they usually, so there's crickets, grasshoppers and weevils. I don't think it'd be weevils. It's probably crickets or grasshoppers. Now, there's not much you can do about that because they're ba-doing. They bounce off the before you can do anything. You could try spraying your passion fruit with a bit of neem oil and
neem
see.
NEEM. Oh, I should also say my zucchini plants are going really well, and then the same thing.
Thank you, Bob. I'm not in delay. Thank you.
Some inconsiderate pest.
Yeah.
Nipping the zucchini flower off as well.
Okay, so that could be weevils. So if you go out, you need to actually have a look around the zucchini plant itself. What some people do at this time of year is just wrap a little bit of wadding around the base of the zucchini. So you, being a bloke, you probably don't do a lot of cross-stitch or patchwork.
Hang on, only I can tell you what my sex is. You
that's true. That's very true. That's true. And we can't generalize. He might be amazing.
You may be an amazing patchwork quilter for all I know, Bob.
Yep. So if he does have the skills, what can he do?
So in your patchwork kit, there'll be stuff that they use to make doonas with or pillows. And if you've got an old pillow, you can just rip that to shreds and you wrap that around the base of your zucchini plant. Now, if it's a weevil or a beetle that doesn't fly or something that has to crawl, their legs get caught in the wadding and then you know exactly what you're dealing with. But I'd still spray them with the neem oil anyway, Bob.
I might even find my difficult neighbour in there.
glad that we could help with both.
I know. Well, Bob, just make him one of those lovely patchwork quilts that you're good at.
Yeah.
And or Bob S. And give it to that difficult neighbour. Soften them up.
Very quick question before you go. Karen said, help with my Norfolk pine transplanted to York. Bottom branch is going yellow.
Okay, so if the bottom branches are going yellow, it's not a good sign. Just keep the water up. Do not fertilise it. Keep the water up, put a mulch on it and pray.
You are in Kalgoorlie next Saturday. Yeah. So this is our last show in person until afternoons next
year. Yes, that's true. Yes. The two of us will be back. The team will be back.
Exactly. Have a good weekend, everyone. It's time for the news already. 10 o'clock.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.